Today I want to open up with Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground, and has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a powerful, powerful piece of scripture that describes Jesus coming into the earth in a place that was dry. And then it takes him all the way to the crucifixion. What a powerful piece of scripture that we build our faith and our foundation on. But the Jews did not even see it. They read it over and over and studied the scriptures and could not even see it. Today, this message is going to be on Jesus is everything, but it's by faith. It's by faith. And I think we need to have a place of faith. I was wrestling around with what I was supposed to preach this week, and Thursday morning the Lord woke me up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning with this scripture placed on my heart. And that's it. And there's many ways you can go with this scripture, and there's many ways you can do. And I said, I don't know what you want to do. And Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. And so, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know what worship was going to be like today. And I came in this morning, like I said, at 4 o'clock this morning, and I began to pray in this place and seek the Lord. And I just felt his presence overwhelming. And he said, just trust in me, and I will just follow me. And then that's what we're going to do today. So I want to open up with this powerful, powerful video. If you would play the video.
chiave, però certo!
His body unrecognizable. Our iniquities laid upon him. We didn't even see the torment on the whipping post, where every stripe and every cat of nine tails that was raked across his back, across his sides, across his stomach, across his chest, was because of the sin that was placed upon him. He bore our sin, our iniquities, our hurts, our pain. The Bible tells us that he was torn apart. It says that we would be not recognize him. Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:21 to 24 says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was revealed, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Every part of our life and our past history before Christ was laid upon him. At that moment of those last 24 hours of his life, there was an agony and distress, but he was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to go to the place of sacrifice, because before the foundations of the earth, it says that God and the Son came into a covenant with each other and said that we would do this for mankind before mankind was even formed out of the dust of the ground. That he said we would do this thing. And so now we have this covenant in Christ. It's not the covenant that we made between God and us. It's the covenant that between Jesus and the Father, and we are in Christ, as the Bible tells us. He bore every iniquity and every sin and every disease in our body, every broken bone, every hurt, every mental condition. He bore it all on himself in those moments and in that time. In that space, you know, he came on the scene. He come out of Mary, out of the womb. He come out of the womb as a little baby, just like we do. And he walked the earth just as we do. And he played as a kid. And he did all the things the Jewish boys would do. And he came in time for his ministry. And he began to reveal the nature of his Father. Before he even laid it down as a sacrifice, he began to reveal the nature of his Father. He began to show love. He began to show compassion for people. He began to heal the sick, the blind, the deaf, the demonic. He began to do all kinds of things to show and reveal who the Father is to us. Up until that point, everybody loved him. Everybody that came in contact with him, except for the Sadducees and Pharisees, because he was against what they believed. He was against what they thought. They wanted the authority and not him. But everyone he came in contact with, the words that he spoke, the things that he said, the things that he did were powerful and revealed the nature of the Father. It says in Psalms 103, 1 through 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." These scriptures are very powerful. So if you're dealing with something in your life, we need to go back to these scriptures, because where does faith come from? Hearing the word of God. Right? So today I really want to talk about faith. Some of you are walking through storms in your life. Some of you are walking through things in your life that you never thought you would walk through. Me and Tabitha has walked through some things in our life that we never thought we would walk through. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 says, "Not by faith." Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. But here it says, get this in your spirit, and we all know this scripture, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is what? Right. He is a rewarder. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, you must believe. By faith, you must believe that he went to the cross. By faith, even though you have not seen it, the only way you have seen it is in word, or in your spiritual mind, or you've seen it on a silver screen. And actually, it's getting better and better as they promote the crucifixion of Christ, the passion of Christ. And we're starting to reveal how much was going on at the moment, at that time. And we can relate to what we have lived through. Just think, one of those lashes is probably from you. Every part of his body torn apart. See, faith, when you're in the middle of a storm, it's tough. Faith, when you hear the doctors and you hear people talk about things that are not lining up to what the Word of God says, and they tell you this stuff in your spirit, they tell you this stuff in your mind, and all of a sudden it begins to transform you. See, faith in the middle of a storm can waver. We know it when the storm came up and the disciples are in a boat and Jesus is sleeping in the front, and this big storm comes up and the disciples have Jesus with them. They've just seen all kinds of miracles. And here we are, they're scared and afraid for their life. And Jesus calms the storm. Think about the three boys standing at the edge of the furnace. Think about the three boys that stood there by their faith. By their faith went into the furnace. And when they peered over the furnace and looked down, they seen what? Not three, but four dancing around, untied, unbound by faith. Are you willing to stand by faith when you're in the furnace? Daniel in the lion's den. When he's walking out and going into the lion's den, knowing that there's lions in there going to devour him possibly, but by faith he knew that God would carry him through. How about David being persecuted by Saul? As a young boy, 16 somewhere years old, he's anointed king, and he is not king for another 15 years. But here's the thing, by faith, he is walking out the things, even though he's pursued by Saul, he continues his faith in the Lord. I want to read a story out of 2 Kings 1 through 4. Second Kings 5, 1 through 14, excuse me. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. He's fighting for the king, he's doing all kinds of stuff, but he's a leper. Sick. Leprosy, you know, that stuff that rots your fingers and rots things off. Verse 2, it says, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So basically, he's thinking that the king is seeking a quarrel with him. So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went to his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. Verse 13, and his servant came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then would when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" And so he went down and dipped 7 times into Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And the flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I want Tabitha to come up. Like I said, this is unscripted, okay? This is unscripted. And I want Tabitha to come up because we have went through some things in our life in the last, probably the last 6 months, 7 months, that have really, we had to grab a hold of our faith. We had to grab a hold of who God is, and we had to grab a hold of what he really is about. Even though when there's turmoil in your life, where are you going to stand?
But our God is good. Okay, so start with my family history. My dad had Alzheimer's. All of his brothers had Alzheimer's, and we found that his father had Alzheimer's. So strong family history of Alzheimer's. So I always said that if I started having any memory issues or anything like that, I was going to go to the doctor immediately to have things looked at because I wanted to start early on the process. So I did that. Well, by doing so, when I went to the doctor, he ran this one special test, have the results here, and the results came back, findings compatible with front temporal dementia or early Alzheimer's disease. Rocked my core. But my husband and I instantly started fasting and praying. Still was not real settled with things, I have to tell you. But we did that, and then a group of us, the Kineo group, went to Dawsonville. And when we went to Dawsonville,
up until this point, nobody has known. Yeah. Nobody knows nothing.
Nobody.
We kept it to ourselves. Nobody yeah. knew anything.
It was not something I was ready to share with
and
anybody.
The Kineo group.
The Kineo group did not know either. Well, and God is good because God put me in the baptismal that I never get in was with Pastor Marty. Usually I go to the pool. He put me and Lance separated us from the group and put me in the baptismal with Pastor Marty. But our Kineo group is a sneaky little group, and they requested to go watch us get baptized, which I did not know, and so they got to see that. But I was baptized, and I can't say anything specifically happened other than there was just an overwhelming peace that came about me that I just knew it was done. That it was done, and I just had a peace from that day forward. So we just continued to pray. The doctor set me up with a genetics doctor and a neurologist. The neurologist is in October, but the genetics doctor I went to, and just got the lab results last week on the genetics doctor. And they were, when I went to them, they're like, "You do have a really strong family history for this." And I'm like, "I know." But they did the lab results. They called me, and they're like, "Well, your lab results," let me back up. They checked for 35 different tests. That means all the variants of Alzheimer's there is, and all the variants of dementia, ALS, all these different tests. They said, your test results came back negative. Now, the good news is, they said, oh, and by the way, your children do not need to get checked either. The curse is broken. So, now, you know, the doctors, they want to say genetics testing is not 100% reliable where it needs to be, that you still need to go follow up with a neurologist, that I will most likely have to have a spinal tap that will check the spinal fluid to test it and see if there's Alzheimer's in that or dementia in that. And that will be my final say. And I will do it because I will prove that my God is a good God and give him the glory when Amen. It is negative. So,
Amen. So to say all that, when you're in the storm, yeah, we should have used you guys to call upon and have help with. But there's something that I wanted to honor my wife that she didn't want to say anything. And so we begin to fight together. We begin to fight as the Lord has called us to fight. You begin to pray. You begin to fast. You got to lay it all on his plate. You got to lay it all back to him. It's because it's his. Because by the video you just watched, everything that was done to Christ was for our healing, for our health, for our mental things, for our salvation. Really, when you look at the scriptures in Isaiah 53, it's about your sin and iniquity. That's the ultimate healing, is coming into a relationship with Christ. But the benefits of it is the healing. And the covenant that was made, see, all the curses are broken. In the covenant that we have with Christ, when we begin to pray that covenant, say, this is what your word says. This is who you are. This is who you are, God. We know what your word says, and we're going to stand on your word. By faith we stand. And then we see God move. Today, some of you are walking through things in your life. It wasn't a baptismal pool. It was a place of faith. It was a place that Tabitha had built up in her spirit, a place of faith. It wasn't the water. It wasn't Marty in the pool. It wasn't Dawsonville, Georgia. It was by faith. When we started going down to Dawsonville, Georgia in 22, I believe it was, we really connected with the group of people that was down there. We were really connected with the leadership and stuff like that. And Tabby really grabbed the hold of them and Kaneo and stuff like that and really got into it. And her faith began to build as she would watch the testimonies come across the screen. And you can watch those testimonies of blind eyes, cancer, stage 4 cancer, all kinds of diseases being healed. Kids with ADHD and different things going to the water and totally different the next year. Did things happen at the very moment that she went into the water? Absolutely something happened, but she might have not have felt it. Something happens every time you come before God. There is something that happens to you. There's something that happens in your spiritual body. There's something that happens in your physical body when you request it. Every time that someone prays for you, every time you get into the water, every time that you seek the face of the Father, there is something that happens to you. You begin to change. Even though you don't feel it at the moment. That was June, she got baptized. It was August, and she felt nothing. We felt peace when we fasted. We felt okay. And we just believed. And we're still believing today that God will finish his work. Listen to this. Here's some healing scriptures. Acts 3, 2 through 8. Healing of the lame. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom he laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He was wanting alms. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple, and then walking and leaping and praising God. You know, from the moment that he said, believe, there was something that happened the moment that he touched him in Jesus' name. There was no other prayer said. There was nothing else done. But in Jesus' name, by faith, get up and walk. And he began to get up and walk and leap and jump around. It's by faith that we move. It's by faith what we do things. Acts 14, 7 through 10. And they were preaching the gospel there, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. He heard the word, and faith began to get in his spirit. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. It's because he listened and heard the word, and it got into his spirit, and he said, I believe. And Paul noticed it and recognized it. See, anyone can be made well. Listen to this. In James 5, 14 to 16, it says, "If is anyone among you sick, let him call upon the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if any has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That means get rid of the stuff that's in your life. Get rid of those things that you're holding on to. Open up your heart and let the Lord come and heal it. Get rid of those things, those thoughts, those things that you're dealing with in the quiet places of your home. Get rid of those things in the closet you're not supposed to be in. Get rid of those things that you're living in that you should not be living in. And God will begin to transform your life like never before. He will change you completely. It might not be overnight, but it might just happen overnight. It might take you years. It's taken me 20 years to get to this place where I'm at today. And I'm still growing. I haven't quit yet. I'm still pressing into the Father. I'm still moving. And you need to continually move in to the Father each and every moment of your life. He can heal the blind. See, the blind can see in Acts 9, 32 to 34. "Now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the street saints who dwelt in Lydia. There he found a certain man named Ananias." This is Paul. He had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. I skipped over the blind can see. Excuse me. No wonder. This is a paralyzed man can walk. Acts 9, 32 to 34. "And now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydia. Then he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed.' Then he arose immediately." And then Paul, being blind because of the power of God, come and meet him on the Damascus Road. And Ananias, this is Acts 9:17, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Acts 16, 16 through 18, it says, "Now it happened, demons are cast out, and now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she said for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her.' And he came out of her that very hour." See, the dead are also raised in Christ Jesus because he went to the cross. He laid his life down. They took him off the cross, beaten and battered and tore apart and abused and afflicted by our wounds. But here's what can happen. The dead can raise because of him. Acts 20, 7 through 12. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. How would you like to sit here until midnight tonight? Would you, if I just kept on preaching, would you guys sit? Would you guys stay here and not eat? Or would you have to go home and leave? It just depends on if the power of God is in the room, right? It depends off the Holy Spirit is moving in the room. Maybe if the Holy Spirit ain't moving, but I'm preaching a word, and you, would you stay and sit for a while? Well, this guy did, up until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eucritus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Paul was boring him. There was no Holy Spirit moving. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not be troubled yourselves, for his life is in him." Now, when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. Imagine that. The dead come alive from the disciples. In Acts 28, 7 through 9, it says he heals all types of diseases. In the region, there was an estate of leading citizens of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery, which is diarrhea. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those around the island who had disease also came to him and were healed. Also came to him and were healed. We're going to go back to Naaman. Because here's the thing. By faith, what are you dealing with today? Naaman didn't want to get into the water. He didn't want to get into the dirty water of the Jordan. He didn't want to do that kind of stuff. I'm going to get into the water today to do an example for you. Yeah, I took my stuff out too. Naaman did not want to get into the water because it's dirty. He's got leprosy. He's got leprosy. And he comes to the man of God in Israel, in Samaria. And Elisha sends out a messenger to a high-ranking official in the army. And by his word, the messenger said, "Go to the Jordan and dip 7 times. What did he do? He took the word and said, No way, my rivers up here in Damascus are better. Why would I want to do that? Why did Tabitha have to go all the way down to Dawsonville, Georgia to get into the water down there? She didn't have to. But what happened was faith was in her spirit. We began to pray and we said, when we go down to Dawsonville, she's going to get in the water, she's going to be healed. Our faith began to build up in that aspect of it. And we begin to pray on that. God, I know you're going to move, even though you're not. We know you're moving now when we pray and we fast. God, I know you're moving. But there is going to be a miraculous thing happen when she gets into the water down there. Not just taking a trip. Not just going down with a group of people that we love. But we was going down for a reason. All the group didn't know we were going down for a reason. We were going down for God to touch her in a way that we couldn't do or we wouldn't see in here, that we didn't know we were seeing here. So Naaman begins to walk in the water of the dirty Jordan River. Why am I in here? Why do I have to go through this type of stuff? You ever been there in your life when you're dealing with a sickness and disease? You ever been there? Why do I have to go through this stuff? Why do I got to get this disease on my body? And as he walks in, he gets now knee deep, looking at the dirty river. How can this dirty river heal me? How can these doctors heal me? And he goes down any deeper. And he's in the water and he's looking around and no one's around. But the word of the Lord said, the word of the prophet said, dip seven times. And nothing. You've been in the doctor's office. You went through chemotherapy. You went through whatever it is. Nothing. Where's your faith at? Where's Naaman's faith at? My fingers are still rotten. My toes are still rotten. I'm dipping into Jordan. What, something should happen? I've had people pray for me. I went all over the world and I've had people pray for me. And nothing's happened. So I dip again. And the same thing. Back to the doctor. Doctor, I did what you said. I even prayed. I went to the church, to the elders of the church, and I had them pray for me. But I'm still dealing with the same situation. So I dip again, number three. And nothing's changed. Where's your faith? Where's your heart? Where's your friends? But the man of God said, dip seven times. So you dip again. Number four. Nothing's changed. But the man of God said, seven. Even though I'm in the dirty water, even though I'm going through the trials, the tribulations, the aspect of sickness, the aspect of cancer, the chemotherapy, the radiation, your hair is falling out, your whole body's changing, and you're still trying to have that faith to stand upon the word of God that he said he is the author and finisher of everything. See, Naaman didn't have that. Naaman didn't have the word of God in his spirit. We do have the word of God in our spirit. It says by faith we know, we hear. We build our faith by hearing the word of God. And so he dips again. And still nothing. Pressed in and your deaf ears are still deaf. Your cancer is still there. Your mental health is still there. Where's your faith? Does it die each time you dip in the water? Does it die each time that someone prays for you? Or does it get stronger and stronger and stronger? I'm getting close to number seven. I'm getting close to the time that the man of God told me to dip. Where's your faith at this morning? Number six. take a deep breath. And you know you're coming up to the last time, the dip, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. We prayed for Tabitha. We've known about some situations for a long time, for how long the spinal fluid been building up. 14 years, spinal fluid has been building up in her brain. We would get spinal taps year after year. Then it's been a while since we've gotten one for a while, taking medication upon medication, praying in faith, having people pray for her over and over and over. Where's her faith? Where's your faith? Do you stand your ground? Do you stand on the Word of God? Are you going to go again? Are you going to dip again? Are you going to go to that minister and get prayed for again? Or are you just going to live with your circumstances? Are you just going to live with what you're dealt with? Or is God a good God? God's character, His name, Jehovah Rapha, means He is the healer. Not the one standing in the pulpit, not the one preaching on a street corner, but they are used by Him. But God is the author and finisher of all. He is the healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is also my provider. He will provide for me in the times of distress. He will provide for me in the times of distraught. He will take my mind and renew it as I read His Word. He will change the way I focus. He will allow me to focus on His Word and not the word of the doctor that says, this is what you have. This is written down on the paper. This is what you're going to deal with. No, absolutely not. My God is bigger than that. My God is stronger than that. My God is I believe in my God is a healing God. He is the author and finisher of everything in my life. And so I dip again for the last time. If he wouldn't have got healed on that seventh dip, would he have dipped again? But from the Word of God, from the word of the man of God, he dips. That his flesh become new. As a young babe in the dirty Jordan River, in a place he didn't want to go, in a place he felt uncomfortable, a place that was out of his territory. A place that he moved into because some little girl from Israel was captive. And she said to my mistress, if he could only go to the man of Samaria, the guy of Israel, the man of God, the prophet, he would heal him. And at that word, he heals. He went to the king. And he progressed through the progression of what he was supposed to do so he could come into the land of Israel. What are you waiting on this morning? Is it enough to listen to the doctor's report? Or is it enough to stand on the Word of God and say, I have faith. I have faith that he will move the mountains in my life. I have faith that he will move the boulders in my life. I have faith that he will heal my mind. I have faith that he will take the cancer and dissolve it in my body. I have faith that he will take the ligaments and the muscles and whatever is torn apart that as you get older starts to just deteriorate in your body. You know, Moses, it says that his eyes never grew dim. 120 years old and his eyes never grew dim. Where's your faith at this morning? I do this because we're all dealing with something in our life. We've all dealt with faith, and we've all faltered on our faith, and we've all listened to the doctors, and we all listened to the reports. And all of a sudden, our mind begins to think, oh, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do in the next 5 years? Actually, the disease that they told her here in Terre Haute said 2 years. 2 years. That's what the doctor's report said. This type of dementia. This type only is 2 years. 5 years? 5 years. So what's Lance think? Did I go to the Word of God or did I start to listen to the doctors? Well, the first thing is what am I going to do? 5 years. I'll be 57 years old, 58 years old. What am I going to do at 58? How am I going to take care of her? And then I said, absolutely not, enemy. You're not going to speak to me. You're not going to lift your voice in my ear. You're not going to do it. And I began to say, God, what do you want to do? And so we said, we're going to fast. And we're going to fast and we're praying and we're going to fight. And we're going to fight the way God taught us to fight. We're going to read the Scripture. We're going to pray the Scripture. And we're going to believe the covenant of God. And so by faith, you'll be healed. The Bible tells us, I think it's in Mark. It's on there on my page. That Jesus went into his own city of Nazareth. He walked through the city, crying out to him, preaching a word to him. And he said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Where do these words come from him? Who is he to speak to us? And the Bible tells us that there were only a few healed in that city because of their unbelief. When I read through the New Testament in the book of Acts, I didn't see one place where a disciple said, "And by his stripes you're healed." That's just something we know. But what he said is, by the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. Because of the work on the cross, the work on the whipping post, the work that he performed for you and I. By our faith, our ears open. By our faith, cancer dissolves. By the power of God in our life. By the power of God. Not by some man's power. It's by the Holy Spirit power moving. And so this morning, I'm going to leave it right there. If you're dealing with something this morning, you need to dip in the water. The water's open. If you want someone to pray for you, we have leaders of this church that are going to pray for you. It says, call on the elders of the church and all types of diseases will be healed. They'll anoint you with oil and you shall be healed. So the water is open. Sonny, Phyllis. Jimmy. Sean. Danielle. You okay, Danielle? Okay. Come up, Sean. Put some music on. I'm not going to linger, guys. It's by your faith and our faith up here in front of the room. If you want to get in the water, just step in. Take a dip. Father God, I come before you today, and Holy Spirit, I pray right now over this congregation. That our faith begin to be strong. Our faith begin to build up, oh God. Give us more faith, Lord. Strengthen our faith. When the enemy tries to tell us different things and say different things in our life, as the doctors try to tear us down, even though this might be the circumstance in our body, it is not the total circumstance, because God can rearrange and turn that thing around. My God does turn things around. Father, I thank you for what you've done in my wife's life and in her body. I thank you for restoring the mind. And so now I just pray over each and every one in this room. Let faith arise. Let faith arise this morning in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. If you feel like you need to move, move. If not, we'll dismiss. If you would like to get in the water, we have scrubs that you can put on. We'll wait all day for you. We'll wait all day for you. We have scrubs you can put on. You can change clothes and do that.
So for years, I was diagnosed with schizophrenia. I've heard voices for years. I've been diagnosed with bipolar and major depression. And for years, I've been oppressed by the enemy and hearing things constantly, nonstop. And I've been always ashamed to ever tell anyone that. This is the first time I've ever stepped out and really let anybody know. So I'm stepping out in faith today, and I'm going to take a dip. And I know that he's changing that for me. And I stand on that. In Jesus' name, I stand.
Thank you. I want to just encourage you people. Probably 15 years or so ago, I had cancer. Well, let me back up. First of all, everything that Lance had preached about was based on obedience. People, if they didn't obey, none of the healings would have took place. The obedience came because there was people that were obedient to do what God told them to do. The prophet, God told the prophet what to do. Naaman had to be obedient to go and be healed by dipping. When I had cancer 15 years ago, Willie will probably remember this, but he came by. And I was in the house by myself. And Willie said, God sent me here to preach to you. Do you remember that? One guy, he preached a sermon to me, and it was on the fig tree, when the fig tree died by the roots. He had a tree in his hand, a little tree. He said, you keep an eye on that tree, and you'll see it start to wither. He said, that's the same thing that's happened to your cancer. Today, I'm cancer-free. Based on obedience. And the point that I'm trying to make is, if God tells you something, you be obedient to what he's telling you to. Because you have no idea the end results of that obedience. It's the end results that counts. I'm healed. Tabby's healed. A lot of you others have testimonies, too, of where God is healed, but it's based on obedience.
Amen. I know Charlotte's going to get in the water. If anybody else wants to come forward, dealing with anything in your life, anything in your body,
Well, I have fought, not schizophrenia, but I've had a lot of things spoken over me. But I've fought depression and anxiety. And this was good, what you said today. And just listening, you know, back in the day, my mother's generation, she never talked about it much, but every once in a while it'd come out that my grandmother fought something similar to this. And even when my mom was young and my grandmother and grandfather were alive, she would talk about beating up an egg, and she didn't do it, but her dad did for her mom. Beat him up an egg so that she'd get some nourishment because she just wouldn't eat. I've been through that too. The last time I went through that, I was 95 pounds. I was a stick. I just quit eating. It just hit me in the stomach immediately, and I quit eating. Now, that's not of God. That's the devil. And four times, I'm sick of this, and I'm not going to put up with it. and I'm coming against this not just for me, but for my bloodline, in the bloodline, for my children, for my children's children. The generational curse needs to be broken. And that's why I'm here, because I'm done. Tomorrow, I go to the doctor at 2:45. I've been asking him this for months. Can you lower the dose? Can you lower the dose? No. I'm 67. He said, maybe when you're 70. I'm not waiting that long. I got things to do. I need clarity of mind. I don't need to be burdened down with this stupid medicine, because I took it yesterday and I swear I was all over the place. I was up, I was down, I was every which way. Couldn't function. Just could not function. I'm tired of this. You know, amen.
Just let God do what he does.
Your glasses, please.
Others are going to get into the water, but I will dismiss you if you want to go. Your faith, let it be rooted in the Word. Let it be rooted in Jesus. Father God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this time that we are living in. And Father, that we can read your word, hear your word, and our faith begins to build and rise. Father, I pray over the ones that are still dealing with things and thoughts in their mind, Father. I pray that you just build their faith. Let them stand on your word as the foundational truth. Father, as people leave here today, let them have peace in their spirit, joy in their hearts. Let them be abound in love and glorify you all the way out the door and all the way back here next Sunday. In Jesus' mighty name.